day one in the books, and what a day it was. Lions, take advantage of the all-offense draft to start. A couple defensive players sliding down. Brad Holmes working the phones. Threading the needle, John, because we were getting a little anxious, a little itchy up on the stage last night at Buffalo Wild Wings, talking to people going, hey, do you want him to trade up? Time to trade up? Are you waiting? There's a good group. When do you make your move? Moves up five spots, gives up a third-round pick, and gets a player they never dreamed would be there, Terrion Arnold. Now, as we look to day two, they do not have the two picks we thought they were going to have. They just have the one at 61.
Yep.
Holmes can maneuver, but as we sit today, they got one pick, some of the best names still on the board. How do you hope this goes?
I hope they go offensive line. And this will test a little bit the best available in the second round. And, you know, they can manufacture that a little bit if they want to, you know, bump up a little bit or say that the guy fell to us. However they talk about it or the semantics that they use, I don't care. There's still a number of really good offensive linemen. The two centers that we have talked about, Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier, both still on the board. And not everybody is going to go offense. If they went, nine offensive linemen were taken in the first round. It would be rare for a team in the first two rounds to go O-line. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It just seems to be rare that would happen. So there's going to be a number of these players that will be available to the Lions. I don't know if either of those guys are Cooper Beebe. Guy we talked about yesterday a little bit more. TJ and I talked about him on the pod this week. A monster inside. Not just in terms of how he plays, but an actual monster. I mean, he's a big 350, 340. Christian Hayes is available as a guard.
UConn guard.
UConn guard. He's a big dude and plays with a mean streak as well. Zach Zinter will be available at that time. Kingsley, and I don't want to butcher the name, but Suamatia.
Close enough.
Yeah.
He's, I believe, Penei Sewell's cousin. I'm not going to kill you for it. I don't have the pronunciation ready either.
Yeah.
BYU tackle, could play guard, would be a different kind of flexible, not a center guard, but a tackle guard. And again, cousin of Penei Sewell. He may go before the Lions pick at 61. Same with Powers Johnson. Same with Zach Frazier. The point is, someone could continue to fall. They also could trade up. They could use future capital. But I agree with you. Offensive line, to me, is the priority for today.
And having gone through that whole process there, there's going to be, I think, one of those six players that I talked about will be available at 61, and the interior of this offensive line is older. Somebody even said elderly early in the season or early in the week. And whether it's Graham, who I know is here for a couple of years, but he's in his 30s. Zeitler is on a one-year deal, and he's played a long time. Frank, we've gone through the whole, situation with him, and at some point, they've got to create reinforcement. Now, what we don't know is what has Colby Sorsdahl been doing this offseason? Is he putting in the work to be a reliable backup? He doesn't seem to me to be a guy that's ever going to be that starter, but is he a reliable backup that can come in and play at a right tackle spot or either guard? Like that is, and Owusika. I saw him come in the NFC Championship game, played well. So they have competent backups, but I want a guy that is going to come in as a backup, but eventually will be a starter. Neither of those guys I mentioned fill that role.
Yeah, so said slightly differently, they don't have to panic,
right?
But it is still a priority, and especially someone who could be a long-term addition to the offensive line so you don't have drop-off so that this window, and I know Holmes doesn't really subscribe to the window theory, but so that you have as many competitive years as possible where you do run the ball, where you do play action pass, et cetera, All right, to the phones we go. People who want to talk about the experience last night and the pick. Let's go to Damon. You're on 97.1.
How's it going, guys? You got to forgive my voice. I came down from Toronto on Wednesday, stayed with my friend in Windsor, and I took the tunnel bus over because it was 20 bucks back and forth. And I got on, and there was a 49ers super fan was on there. They had to stay in Windsor, and he flew in that morning. And so we got in, me and my friend devised a plan to go into gate one right there off of Jefferson. We did the football experience first and then went straight to the front, and there was nobody really there. We got to the very front railing before you can get into the inner circle. And what we did, now I love my city. I'm originally from Detroit, and the love that that people showed, we all became like one big family there. If people need to go to the washroom, we held their space for them. People wanted to get beers, they brought you back beers. They brought you back food, and we just rotated out. But by the time 5 o'clock hit, guys, it was a sea of people. So we were like, how are we going to get out of here? So one young lady said, as she went to the washroom, she kept telling people, remember my face, I'll be right back. And that was how she was able to leave to go use the washroom and come back. But everybody was just so kind. And the super fan saw me at the railing and was asking the security to let me come over into the inner circle. I mean, I knew it couldn't happen, but the fact that he was willing to ask, I thought was great. It was a beautiful atmosphere. You saw a sea of people for days, and everybody got along great. And I'm so glad that Arnold felt us. That I wasn't expecting that at all. That was just like a dream.
The
sacrifice of the third pick.
The friendliness of people. It's something that I saw being talked about beyond just, hey, us here in Detroit. You know, yeah. I mean, we think we're pretty good people here. It's the real test of what other people think when they come and visit our city, because yeah. They think they had one idea of what Detroit was. Oh, it's dangerous, rundown. Not the case. Come see it for yourself. And some of the quotes, and I saw this is up on our website actually right now, some quotes from out-of-towners, and it was stuff like how clean the city was and how immaculate it is compared to 2009 and how friendly everybody was. I mean, people were incredibly friendly. That was a Chargers fan that's quoted in this article. Like, we did a good job as a host. In addition to partying it up and living in the moment and putting out a bunch of Honolulu Blue, this was not a place that people felt unsafe or dirty or anything like that. This was Detroit's finest hour.
And for Detroit fans, to have that in your, you know, in your bag of tricks when people walk in, it wasn't saying that three-letter word. It wasn't, hey, we came up short or something weird happened. Or, yeah, I mean, I know we were up 17 in the NFC Championship game, but we were in the NFC Championship game. It changes the mood of the local fans, knowing that you're confident in your general manager that he's going to do the right thing. You're confident in your team that they're that not only was it wasn't a one-off. It's a streak. The window has just opened, and everybody is excited. The energy level is so positive.
Armin in Detroit, you're next up. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, glad to be on the show again. But like so many other the callers have said, it was such a great time last night. I was able to get down there actually more so in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and it wasn't that hard to move. So getting down there, being around Farmer and Monroe, it was had a good spot to the stage. And like I said, once in a lifetime experience. I'm glad, like you guys just said, everybody was in their best behavior, having hell of a fun. And looking forward to going back down there this weekend with the kids, let them rip and run. But last night was me and my lady, and we just enjoyed ourselves to the fullest.
What'd you think of the pick?
The pick, I think it was lovely. Because it was, once again, unfortunately, because of some other players' actions, it forced our hand to go in that direction. But we still needed that pick. And then also, I know you guys have said something about going offensive lineman soon. Going today? I think we should probably still go to the defense, but I would not be mad addressing the line, you know, either side of the ball.
Yeah. So the question is, do they try and find an edge rusher available at 61, or do they try and find a way to move up to get somebody opposite of Aiden Hutchinson? And I, there are some options. You start to drop down in terms of impact and ability. Adisa Isaac, who was opposite Chop mm-hmm. Robinson, I think is really good. He's available. I don't think there's any chance he makes it to 61. But it's there are some options that are there.
Well, and the dirty little secret is you can make best player available, the best player on the board, also a position in need, if you trade up, which is what Holmes did last night. Now, you can't trade up forever. They only have so many picks. There's a gap, actually, now that they gave up that third. They're going to pick 61, and then it's not for another 100 picks that the Lions would be on the clock in the fifth round. So they'd probably have to borrow from next year, rob Peter to pay Paul, offer up some capital from the future to move up and maybe target a guy. But if you think, hey, we can still get one of these guys. Last year, they got guys in the second round that they had first round grades on.
Yep.
That's still in play for Brad Holmes. 248-539-9797. Let's get to John in Davidson. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, first of all, in regard to the pick, the other day you guys were talking about dream scenarios. I think we're halfway there. I think we got that first part of that dream scenario. And today, hopefully, we can finish it off. With that being said, I wanted to talk about the experience yesterday we had. My wife actually took six kids, including our eight-month-old baby, down there at 10 o'clock. Until I got out of work at 4. With that being said, I met her down there, and we went to the corner ballpark. And I'll tell you what, having the kids at the corner ballpark, the best experience you can have with having the kids. It was wide open. A lot of people there, but wide open, a lot of space. Kids drop in football. They were doing mini camp drills. They were doing obstacle courses, all the things for the kids. I mean, the whole experience for them, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, you know? So they really enjoyed it.
John, you're the second person to say once in a lifetime. I kind of feel like with the job that the city has done here, with how successful this has been, the most attended night one and potentially the most attended draft, I kind of feel like we're going to get this again in our lifetime.
I think so. It's more likely in yours than mine. But
come on, John.
I'm just playing the odds. But I think Detroit showed and moved up the list quite a bit because they did such a great job.
I don't know how you could look at this and think, we're not coming back. Or it's going to be another 20, 30 years. We got to cycle through every other city in the NFL. This isn't every other city in the NFL. And if last night didn't show you that, I don't know what else you were watching.
Well, we've always kind of wondered what it would be like with a really good team, with the Detroit Lions. And I think we're seeing the energy that has been stored up for so long and the passion that this fan base has for this football team.
I mean, every city shouldn't get this. L.A., why would L.A. ever get this? If L.A. gets it, they're forcing it.
Yeah.
You know, on TV last night, coming out of break, they showed an L.A. Rams watch party. Listen to this. It was on a beach out in L.A., and they put down, like, turf, and it had the Rams logo on it and stuff. And it looked like hardly anybody was there. And the only people that were there were the normal beach people. I mean, we should be in about a 10-year cycle. We beat Chicago.
How about this? In one day, we had more people than Chicago had in the entire weekend when they hosted the draft.
I think comparing to last year in KC's, they are a smaller market. We beat the third biggest market in the country, okay?
Yeah. Tell me why this can't be every 10 years. Yeah, still
makes sooner.
Or sooner, why not? Let's get greedy. 248-539-9797, the idea. Dan Campbell said this with us the other day. Said he deserved this. Mm-hmm. He was right. It's 97-1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to ask you questions and get to know you as best as they can. And then they're going to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate on a regular basis to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Same. That's Brad Holmes talking about last night at the NFL draft. John, normally when a guy falls, you have to ask, is there something wrong with him? He fell because we had historic offensive draft picks, 14 straight. We had teams reaching for quarterback, six in the first 12 picks. We saw nine offensive linemen go in the first round, seven receivers, 23 offensive players. But when it's 14 of 14 to start, it's not that Terrion Arnold isn't any good. It's that he got pushed right into your lap. And to Holmes' credit, he had to thread the needle and decide, when do I trade up?
Yeah.
I don't want to give up too much. But I also don't want to miss him. and they got the player they said was the number one corner in this draft. And many people said that before the draft. This isn't them stumping for a guy they took and really doing a hard sell. Most people thought it was him or Quinyon Mitchell. They preferred their guy. They got him anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I asked Dan Campbell the question about small school versus big school and how do you evaluate the level of talent that they're going against, which obviously goes into evaluating what they're doing. So I was kind of looking at a guy like Terrion Arnold who went to, you know, Toledo, and I don't mean to disparage that conference,
but it's about
not
guys
like the SEC. They're not covering the number of receivers that we saw LSU, you know, be taken in the first round. They're not covering receivers from Georgia, and you know, it's a different experience. And they got the guy that they thought was best suited for their team.
Saban did say they wanted to get Mitchell out of the portal.
Oh, sure.
Mitchell, but he stayed at Toledo. He stayed loyal. I mean, some of it's in the eye of the beholder. One guy goes 22, one guy goes 24. But Brett Holmes wanted Arnold. They did the visit with Arnold. They've drafted players out of Alabama before. It's been well documented on our ticket text. It's a pick where they did have to give up a future pick. They gave up a third round pick to do it, pick 73. It's an overpay on the trade chart, but they are in a position where they need a couple high-end players. The depth has been well established through the first three drafts under Brad Holmes, and he's still got some late picks where we know he can work his magic. He could package some up. He could use future picks from next year if he needs to, but the bottom line is they want quality football players, guys who can plug and play, and Arnold's a guy where, and I think he did a good job bringing this up, maybe not day one as an elite corner, but as a guy who can play right away and should only get better, which is on tape at Alabama.
Yeah. And because we always ask the question, if you're a first round guy, like we want to see the impact right now. And we saw for Aiden Hutchinson, it took some time to develop. Now, Penei Sewell was basically plug and play.
Right.
But we saw that improvement with Aiden Hutchinson. We then saw it with, and we're seeing it with Jameson Williams. He's playing better now. They've given him some time. They didn't force too much on him. Jahmyr Gibbs. At the beginning of the season, we heard Ben Johnson say, we're going to use him in such creative ways that you've never even thought of. Well, at the beginning of the season, we asked Dan Campbell that question. We were asking that question, why don't we get more touches? By the end of the year, he was where they wanted him to be. Sam Laporta, he kind of hit the ground running as well. But Brian Branch, the pick six against Kansas City, and then we thought, oh, we'll just see this every single week. Well, there were weeks where he didn't get as many reps, and it was because they weren't putting too much on them. They wanted them to be able to develop that confidence, and have some successes before they put them out there full time. And I don't know that's the same progress because every player is going to be different, but for Terrion Arnold, it may be.
Guys, simple today. Terrion Arnold, the pick, the trade up, the decision, your reaction. Day two begins tonight. They have just one pick. Feels pretty obvious, offensive line, but there's clearly a conversation worth having there. And then the event itself. If you were there, we want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. That was a mass of humanity. That was a spectacle. That was a scene. Detroit shining on brightly on a national stage. 248-539-9797. All of that today. We welcome you in to talk everything football, everything NFL draft. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Not only did Eminem appear on stage at the NFL draft on Thursday, but he also used the night to announce his new album, The Death of Slim Shady, which will come out this summer. So this is going to be Eminem's 12th studio album and his first since 2020. There was a 30-second ad for the album that aired prior to his appearance at the draft. It featured an appearance from 50 Cent, also Eminem himself. So something to look forward to, which is cool. He had... you know, he was featured predominantly in for the draft and the festivities and things like that. Now, speaking of the draft, we've said this all morning, but Detroit set the single day attendance record with 275,000 plus people live for round one. And you know what I love about these stories is also we've been talking about it is all the stories so far that I've seen are all positive, right? Everyone had such a positive experience at the draft experience. People were raving about the city's cleanliness. People were shocked by how clean it was. They talked about the great setup we had. how friendly everyone was, how nice everyone was. And some out-of-towners talked about the transportation. And one person did call the people mover the people pusher, but they said the people pusher is great. And they were shocked by how easy it was to get around from place to place. Even though I know sometimes, you know, the people mover gets, you know, bad rap. People
sure.
were excited about it and apparently worked out real well.
Well, it doesn't get put to use the way it will be and was last night. We had talked about it. Hey, we're not a city that uses a lot of public transportation. How would this go down? I could not believe how easy my drive in was.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
How easy my drive home. People are like, oh, you're going to be in traffic for 45 right. minutes to an hour. Normally my drive's 15, 20 minutes. Guess how long it took? 15 to 20 minutes. It was unbelievable how well it was handled for a city that had that many people. And the context, if you've missed it, Detroit had the most in night one, but they had more than Chicago had in the entire draft when they hosted, and nearly as many as Kansas City had last year for their whole weekend. Detroit's going to threaten, and you would think, break the record for the most in the history of the NFL draft. It would be 600,000. They're well on their way.
That's incredible. In this article, you know, people who are from out of town who are spending all weekend, and there's Detroiters who are going to spend all weekend downtown too, but people are excited to see what else the city has to offer. So there's people that are going to go to the Tigers game, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the game and check that out as well, and then do more draft experience too. It's nice to see these types of stories and not all the negative ones, or people being arrested or doing something stupid, or this is great. I love it.
Detroit looks so good last
night. Yeah, for sure. Jared Goff got some pointers on navigating LA and Detroit from Axel Foley in the new trailer for this summer's Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. So the spot features Goff discussing his move to Detroit and also taking some advice from Eddie Murphy's character.
It's incredible.
That's cute. I liked it.
Steal a police helicopter.
Yeah.
Why
not? It was really cool.
Finally, I'll end with this one. You guys, the woman who drove her car through that Monroe boathouse and ultimately killed two children is free after posting $1.5 million bond. Marcella Chidester, she's going to be required to forfeit her passport. She can't have any alcohol. She has to wear a tether and not drive while out on bond. And on Wednesday, the Monroe County Sheriff's officials did say that a 31-year-old woman and an 11-year-old boy do remain in critical condition. Three others, an 18-year-old female, 16-year-old girl, and 14-year-old boy, were still in serious condition after that horrendous crash.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, your thoughts on the city of Detroit hosting this thing and doing it the right way. The Lions going up and getting their guy. And if you want to throw in what you want for day two, we're not going to turn you away. We got open lines this morning. It's 97.1.
Hey, I've got some big news from Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. Aesthetic Everything just named him the top hair restoration surgeon in the Midwest and one of the top aesthetic doctors in America. That's pretty amazing. And it's really incredible that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. So if you've been thinking about going to see him, get in now and look younger and feel more confident with a thicker head of hair by summer. Also, the sooner you go to see him, the more options you have. Dr. B does so much more than just hair transplants. He has the most up-to-date, well-researched medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B takes the time to create a custom plan that's just for you. And he guarantees all his treatments. So call Michigan Hair Restoration and speak to Maria. Mention 97.1 and you're going to receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation. That's $1,000 value. For more information and to schedule a consult with Dr. B, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Why would they, John?
I don't know.
That was yesterday on the show. Good morning, 97.1. You called it, buddy. And I'm sure you did it without anybody talking to you from inside Allen Park. Your insight, that's why people listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's years of experience. And it's not like it's rocket science. Go up and get one of the best players in the draft.
John, bold idea. Go get good player.
Yeah, I know. I do appreciate the fact that I did call the shot. I thought, like most people, and probably like those inside Allen Park, they were going to have to go up further to get this. And I thought you used a great analogy. They thread the needle. As 14 offensive players came off the board, and then, okay, Leoto Latu was the first defensive player. you knew other players were going to be pushed back because it still wasn't going to be just, you know, defensive players at that point. It wasn't going to flip the switch and say, oh, we can't take offensive players anymore. We're just going to go defense. It made it more realistic. This draft could not have fallen better for the Detroit Lions.
And it's one thing to have the board start to fall your way, but you still have to make the move and time it right. They give up the third round pick, but they didn't give up a second. If they wanted to go all the way up to 15 or 16, trade chart says we have to give up a second. They didn't have to because they waited just to the right moment, and then they made their move. He pounces. He gets his guy, the player they called the best corner in the draft, the player that you think is the best corner in the draft, the player that most people identified as the guy. Quinyon Mitchell, the other name, but this was the guy who played with Nick Saban. Multiple years, ton of games, ton of reps in that secondary. Sticky, man coverage, fits the scheme. If you like the RAS score, I know Gator loves the RAS score. I know Mike and Rico did their whole decoding Brad Holmes. This was a guy that they thought was a Holmes pick through and through. But you can't wait around to 29. You have to decide to go get him, and they did.
Yeah, and this is a roster now where you don't need, you know, everybody starts with seven picks. It's seven rounds, and then the compensatory picks. But you don't need to add six, seven, eight players to this roster, because if you do, you're just going to end up cutting some of them. They're not going to make the roster. And year one, sure, they all made the roster. Hell, year one, two, and three, they all made the roster because it was so bad. Now you have depth. Now you have depth and high-end talent on your roster, and you don't need every single pick. But what you do need is playmakers, game changers. And you could use some of that capital to go up and get a guy that is actually going to impact your roster in a positive way early on.
Ticket text coming in, phone calls. Hayden, you've been waiting. You're in Southfield. You're on 97.1. Good morning, Hayden.
Hey, good morning, John, and good morning, Mark. Hey,
Mark?
I'm sorry.
That's good. Cookies. Cookies.
Jim,
hey,
my
Hayden,
bad.
Hayden, you're good. Hey, listen, late night for everybody. What's up?
It was a late night. So, you know, I had a great overall experience. We got down there about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Parked over at Wayne State. Shuttles were already lined up. Jumped on the shuttle. Got dropped off at LCA. Did a little footwork. Jumped on a people mover. Got dropped off at Millender Center. Got in down there by Hart Plaza. Walked up. Down or up Jefferson, and the whole night, I mean, there was zero issues. If anything I would complain about, which is not really a complaint, was the long food lines. But hey, like one of the callers just said, you had 275,000 people, it's going to be lines.
Yeah, it's not like you could walk up and grab a hot dog, or you know, I mean, you're going to have to wait.
Exactly. And you know, there were enough restrooms, in my opinion. There were few, and they were spaced out pretty well, but they were there. You just had to know where to go. They were well, you know, called out for. There was, from my mind, zero issues. And from a logistics standpoint, the city and NFL, whoever else was involved with it, couldn't have done a better job. I mean, just the layout and the access points and the restricted areas. There were no fools, at least I didn't see any.
Right.
But it was a quiet, fun night, and seeing all the other people representing their teams, especially 49ers and Cowboys fans getting it from many people, it was a hell of an experience, and I can't wait to do it again, hopefully in my lifetime.
Yeah, we've had nothing like it, and we did it as well as any city has done in the history of the mobile draft era. Yeah. And, John, you use this word, proud. Proud of how our city. This is a big spot. And I think the city has come a long way and was ready for it. But you just don't know until you do it. That's crowds that size have never been there for night one of the NFL draft. Any city would have had some issue with it. Yep. We largely, I mean, okay, maybe you wanted an extra porta potty. For the most part, if that's the biggest complaint, crushed it.
I mean, Detroit was bursting at the seams. Whether you were inside the fence, outside the fence, I was so proud of the city of Detroit because it was very clean. It was well organized, well executed. Mother Nature provided a beautiful night for everybody that was going to be down there for whatever reason. And the people that were down there, the residents of Detroit, knew that a mass of humanity was going to descend on them. And they showed out. They showed up. It was in an era of NFL dominance in terms of just the most popular sport, but in terms of eyeballs, the entire NFL universe was going to be focused on Detroit, and Detroit aced it.
And they saw a sea of Honolulu blue.
I had a chance after the event I was at to walk in and see, get right to the edge of the mass of humanity, and it was there. You could see little pockets here and there, and there were some Packer fans that were being treated appropriately, some Bears fans, some San Francisco and Seattle. Like, you could see them, but in large part, it was a sea of Honolulu blue.
Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. I think this turnout gets us a Super Bowl sooner rather than later. Coming up on 20 years.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there's no reason. There's no one can say Detroit can't handle it.
Right.
No, they have removed as many excuses as anybody could have as to why not go to Detroit. They removed all of the excuses.
Well, I don't think they want to have another team host the Super Bowl that's playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, yes. But, hey, you host it, and now you have a team that actually could show up.
Well, and I couldn't be the only one that did think, what would this city look like if they won the Super Bowl? This was the draft. This was our old Super Bowl. What about if they win the actual Super Bowl?
So there were a few moments last night where I think we got a little bit of an idea. Obviously, having to close down and shut it down an hour before the draft even began, mm-hmm. before the national anthem, before the first pick, before the boos of Goodell, they were at max capacity. And you're looking at it going, it just was so unbelievable. And there were very few things where you look and say, well, could we have done this better? I honestly don't know.
Ticket Texter says, once you're a Super Bowl contender, I'm fine with trading up. Bad teams need more players. They typically want to trade back. Good teams need fewer difference makers. Just a few guys to put you over the top. As long as you do it right like Holmes did, this is how it's done. Bob in Rochester. They're talking about that Super Bowl mindset. Scott, we'll hear from Scott. We'll get more ticket texts. We got to keep everybody on schedule here. More of your thoughts, open lines, the pick they made last night, the pick you want to see him make tonight, and yeah, the experience. Detroit showing out. It's 97.1.
Hey, this NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers, new and old alike, two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every single weekend of the playoffs. Just place a same game parlay, an SGP on any playoff matchup, and you're going to get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three pointers, money line, point spread, whatever it is, put it together in a same game parlay, put down a little, and you got a chance to win a lot. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. Official sports betting partner of the NBA and 97.1 The Ticket. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
That's Brad Holmes. That's real. That's pretty candid. Late teens trying to get it. Didn't want to have to settle. Terry Arnold, 24th overall. Traded with Dallas. Gave up a third. They have just one pick tonight for night two of the NFL draft. At least for now. We know he's a wheeler dealer. Mm-hmm. Your reactions to Terry and Arnold. Day two dreams. And guys, the story was the city of Detroit on full display.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful last night. I mean, obviously, you know, the weather could not have been nicer. It was a beautiful night, but the city did so much work to prepare for this, and it was from cleaning everything up, building things, putting things in place that made it a great experience for everybody there. And the big question was going to be, how's everybody going to get there? How's everybody going to get gone? What's parking? What's transportation? I haven't heard from anybody that, I mean, would you have preferred to drive down there and park yourself instead of taking a shuttle? Maybe some people would have, but sure. It felt like all of the different satellites where people could park and then shuttle in, it all worked seamlessly.
Scott and Frazier, you were there. You're on 97.1. Good morning.
Hey, Jim and John. I'm so proud of the city of Detroit. It was amazing. It was so great yesterday. I don't know if you can tell, my voice is kind of shot and just, I'm tired. I got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, fell asleep on the couch, woke up at like 3:30, and I was so jazzed. I haven't been back to sleep since. So, the city of Detroit did so proud. The people were great. Everyone was on their best behavior, just enjoying the day, having fun. I was lucky enough, blessed to do the red carpet, at the Fox before the draft stage. And some of the guys were really impressive. I think there were 16 total that walked the stage yesterday. And good story here, a little foreshadowing. Kerryon Arnold came out and was signing some things for me and my cousin. And he was, he looked dapper, great guy. And my cousin was really big. He wanted Kerryon Arnold to get picked by the Lions. So he said, hey, Kerryon, Lions should move up and make you a Lion. And he looked up from signing what he was doing, and he just gave us a big smile. And it was kind of like, looking back at it now, it was like it all fit together. And to see that Brad didn't settle, that was the guy they wanted. I was leaning a little bit towards Quinion Mitchell. But, you know, I trust Brad. If that's who he wanted and he got, it's fantastic.
It's a great story, and it feels like it was the worst-kept secret. I mean, he said it was classified whether the Lions were going to trade up and get him. Yeah. Jansen had that as his prediction, allegedly without any inside information, yesterday on the show. By the way, Ticket Texas says, I'm not buying this labor union cover. You were in Allen Park in the war room, John.
I would have loved to have been down there, but no.
Yeah, you work for Interpol? I mean, it's not fair when we're trying to do picks yesterday. We're not fighting a fair fight.
Hey, you spend 25 years researching and analyzing everything that goes on in the game, and then let's do this together again at that point.
Texter says the best part of the pick is not that Arnold is an absolute dog and a good fit, but that we moved in front of Green Bay and took another Alabama defensive back they wanted for the second straight year.
I did love it that Detroit got to 24 and Green Bay is at 25 because it felt and who knows how Morgan does at Green Bay. To me, that was a bit of a reach for him, and it kind of felt like they were caught off guard. They were going to take probably Kerryon Arnold, and they just it felt like we caught him off guard by jumping him.
It's beautiful. Jackson Powers Johnson, top center, reads the Ticket Texter, can play guard either spot. Perfect pick for their next selection. That's a guy that we had talked about would have been phenomenal to end up with in this draft. We kind of thought he might not even be there at 29. If he's there, you grab him. John, this could work out beautifully. They end up with Arnold, a player we never dreamed would even be available to the Lions, and they still have a chance going into day two to land one of those offensive linemen because it's Frazier who's still there, and it's Powers Johnson.
It's Powers Johnson. It's Cooper Beebe. It's Christian Hayes. It's Zach Zinter, it's Kingsley Suamataea. It's these guys that have been pushed down the board for whatever reason. And I don't like using falling down because it feels like that's like if there's some other reason, some nefarious reason why they're not being taken. I said this before, this is a draft that is loaded with really good football players.
Right, but it's positional value. Collectively, interior linemen aren't being valued.
Right, they're not going high.
First round picks.
Yeah, special centers.
I mean,
centers.
You could see, I read into it. I was stubborn and didn't move away from the Jackson Powers Johnson pick, partially, you know, I because of need, but also being stubborn. But I said yesterday, I go, there was clear smoke from multiple places that this was a guy that was speculated to be picked somewhere between 18 and 23 for 3 months. And then all of a sudden in the last week, he was dropping out of first rounds.
And there he is into day two.
All the others are there too. all the other interior linemen. So I don't think there's any flag on him necessarily.
No, I think John's point about falling. Falling is all relative. And I think Brad Holmes would be the first to tell you, falling according to mock drafts, these same guys that don't know what they're doing anyway, like falling in whose eyes? In terms of Mel Kiper's eyes? Like falling, if GMs all along never viewed him as a first-round pick, but more of a day two guy, they weren't going to publicize that. The only way we're going to find out is when all 32 teams go up and down the board and they don't take him.
And I think it's realistic for some of these guys to continue to fall because there's so many offensive linemen were taken in the first round. Teams are going to have a tough time taking two offensive linemen to start their draft.
Right.
It's just a psychological thing. I wouldn't doubt at all if Harbaugh were to take a guard now. But, you know, it's like, after last night, I think it's more likely the Falcons take Rattler. Seriously.
Oh, God.
After what happened last night, would it surprise you?
Tom, I'm happy you said it because in the 8 o'clock hour, like when we get done with Chris's update, we do need to do a zoom out, and we'll keep taking Lions phone calls. The city, the picks, the future. What the hell is Atlanta doing? Have we ever seen a draft that starts that way? Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Defense optional until the midway point of the draft. We have a lot to talk about zoomed out with the NFL draft. Want to get to Joe in a truck. He's been waiting. Joe, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Oh, phenomenal. They pulled that off in spades. And we got down there about 4 o'clock after taking the shuttle. There was two entrances in. The Hart Plaza entrance was an hour. The North Woodward entrance was about an hour. So we looked around, well, what's the best way to get in? And that was the Washington, off of Washington Avenue. It was about 10 people. We're in the venue. I mean, there's a DJ down Woodward. Channel 4 is there. It's phenomenal. So we got plenty of time. It's about 3 hours before the first pick. So, hey, let's go down to NFL Experience. So we did that. And then we tried to get back in line about 6:30 to get into the Hart Field, the Hart Plaza entrance. Yep. And this crowd is growing. There's probably 70,000 to get in. And the signs say, we have reached capacity. We're not letting anybody in. So I go to the side because this crowd is huge. And all of a sudden, my buddy turns to me, let's go to the side. And all of a sudden, he says, that barrier is going down. It's going down. You know, I mean, it was controlled chaos. Everybody cool, but they just got frustrated. So all of a sudden, you see a wave of people just go in. And then we get about halfway down, you know. And we get greeted with about six big, giant horses. Uh-huh. That's as far as you're going to go, you know. And there was people even trying to jump the fence. And it was 10 feet high. I mean, the fence at Hart Plaza was 10 feet high to get... I mean, this young kid, it looked like he jumped. It looked like it stunned him. But we turned out later that that's the way to get out. So he did that all for nothing. But I think they pulled it off in the best international event that Detroit could ever have. I mean, it's a great pick to get the number one corner in the draft is amazing. Mm-hmm. So you guys have a great day, and wow. Just phenomenal. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Joe. And I think that's kind of the sentiment we're getting from everybody. Little hoarseness in the voice.
Yeah.
Stories are being right there in the mix. And listen, was one person maybe too drunk? Sure. But for the most part, people behaved themselves.
Yeah. Had a great time. Enjoyed it.
That many people to behave themselves? Because everybody's just awestruck. We get to do this. This is in our backyard. This is the NFL. We love football. And our Lions are finally on the cusp of doing something special. Ticket Texter says, John, we figured you out. You had Connor Stallions on your side for that pick. That's how you knew.
Film study.
What is Atlanta thinking?
Thank you, J-Mo. Thank you.
What is Atlanta thinking? Why doesn't defense matter anymore? I don't know. We'll talk general observations from the NFL. Dear John at 8:35, NFL edition. It's 97.1.